Welcome back to the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. I am your host, Mark Altman, and I am here with my special guest this week, Alex Carlton, president of Acumentary. Alex, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me on this very special day.
So, Alex, I have to ask you, our viewers are dying to know. Acumentary, what is the story behind the name Acumentary? Because I will tell you before you answer, it's got one of my favorite words in it, acumen.
Ah, one of my favorite words too.
So I want you to tell us.
Okay. So acumen is one of my very favorite words also. We share that. And so I'm a leadership development coach.
Okay.
And one of the things that I work with people is their acumen. So that's their knowledge of leadership, strategy, et cetera. And when I was recently naming my company, this is my second venture as a coach, I thought to myself, of all the things I do, what's my favorite part of my job? And the word acumen was the first thing that popped into my head. And I also love, I like words. So the origin of the word comes from to sharpen, to have a point. And what I liked about that is it inferred sort of always sharpening. It wasn't sharpened. Like, you never really get there, so you're always sharpening your skills. So that's what I liked about acumen. And then try is really the root word for tree, but it came from triathlon. And actually, it's a couple of things. Triathlon, I'm a triathlete, and I love things in threes. Everything comes in threes. So I, when I was looking to name a company, I decided I'm going to make up my own word.
There's a few stories behind
there are so many words.
That.
You know, actually, if I back way up, it just came to the point of, this is my company. If I can take the two things that I love the most and put them together and make something that really resonates for me, it was the work I do with people, helping them develop their leadership acumen and my athletics, and put those two together.
Well, Alex, I know you mentioned you're a triathlete, and I know one of the areas so many of your clients have connected with you on, and I connect with you on as well, is your passion and love for competition in sports. And I think what's been amazing about you is how not only have you've used your love and passion for it, but you've used the knowledge you've gained from it to be more effective and a better coach for your clients. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, and it comes from so many different places. But so I have this belief that confidence, take confidence specifically, takes practice. And it's not something that you're born with a certain amount of confidence and you die with a certain amount of confidence. It's something that you can practice. And practicing things with lower risk first to build up to things that take higher risk is a wonderful life skill. And I think that participation in sports, so whether I was running, triathlon, they're sort of safe risks to take. And while you're doing those sports and participating, you learn amazing things. You learn about setting goals, owning them and not owning them. You learn about breaking down practice to get your goal, and it's not usually something that you can attain in a day. So if you have a particular golf score you want to get to, it's not something that you can really master and become good at it that day. It takes small step goals to get there, a lot of discipline, and sort of trusting the process and getting there. And that comes over to leadership and coaching all the time. Trying to think other things that come into there. Networking is important for leadership. And that certainly happens in participation in sport. Being able to handle stress and endure through things, you build that through sport. And that certainly is important to leadership. So there's just so many places where it overlaps. There's probably, I could probably come to think of like 9 different areas that we practice in both.
Well, there's something you said that really intrigues me. So when you think of the CEOs and leadership teams and executives that you've helped, what strikes me as a consistent pattern is most people in high positions of leadership are not likely to express they're not confident or have weaknesses in certain areas. And talk about those two leadership skills of kind of being vulnerable or being self-aware and the resiliency aspect needed in being a leader and how you're able to support people in those areas.
Sure, and I'm going to break that into a couple of pieces because I think the confidence piece, I think most of us can look at our lives and see places where we have a certain level of confidence and places where we don't. It's not usually one level of confidence for every
across
skill
the board.
That you'll do, okay. Right? You have different strengths. So I think a lot of executives know places where they have high confidence and places where it doesn't feel as high. So there's an awareness that there's a difference. So I think that's part of it. And I think the other thing is that, you know, a lot of times it's not about not having confidence with, it's more about like, well, could I get better? Like, what can I do to challenge myself? Like, I can do this today. I have this other goal. I want to see how big I can grow my company. I want to see if I can move into different industries or something that is just new territory. So it's sort of that strive to continually improve. This is where I am today. What can I do to continue to get better? Like, I may have a fantastic time for my 10K, but I wonder if I changed up my training, if I could get better. You know, so it's sort of that desire to keep improving more than anything else.
You know, my concern, though, is what does it mean when people admit they need help and they need support? Because from a confidence perspective, they might be aware, but actually admitting it and seeking the help. And I love what you just said, because we've talked about how typically people only need help if there's a problem or if there's a pain going on. But you could be just striving for something. So talk about if you have the courage and confidence to actually know it, but then actually seek it, where those challenges lie.
So the very first part of your question, you're like, what does it mean for someone who can reach out? I'd say they're very brave. I mean, first and foremost, I think getting to a point where you realize that someone can add to you and can make you better and that you can improve, it takes a lot of bravery to say that. I think a lot of times people at all levels spend a lot of time trying to make it look like they've got it all under control. Everything's okay, you know.
Right.
Nobody panics.
Putting out that facade, right?
Right. So that facade's hard to carry because nobody can have it all, right? So we all need help. I think the other thing is that, you know, it's sort of simple. Like, nobody can see everything. You know, I have the ability to see you sitting in front of me, but for the life of me, I cannot see the back of my head. I just can't, right? So there's no bias about it. I just cannot see the back of my head. I could get a mirror. I could see a backwards version of my head. But having a coach or having an advisor or a mentor, someone to help you, that you can just see things that you can't see because nobody can see everything. And there's no judgment on that. It doesn't make you smarter or less smart.
Right.
It's just a fact.
That's the
you know. And so I think that's part of that mindset for seeking out help. And I think a lot of times people have had the experience of helping other people, and they haven't thought that there was a deficit in that person. They just thought that that was a particular skill they wanted to get better at.
Alex, you know, in talking to some of your clients and knowing your background, I think one thing that's always amazed me is typically executive coaches or leadership coaches have a lot of business background. And I know you do. You've dealt with HR. You dealt with technology. You've been a consultant. I mean, you have such a versatile background. But what I think makes you special that I haven't seen in a lot of executive coaches is you understand people, right? Because it's one thing to understand business and different things and challenges leaders would face, but you really understand relationships and people and how that all integrates together. Could you talk a little bit about where that skill combo came from and maybe some of your background a little bit in that regard?
Sure. So where'd it come from? I'm gonna have to think about that one and sort of back into that one. But So my background, I've worked in all different areas across a company. It's mostly because I'm curious and I like to understand how things work. So working in finance, and that was just fun. I was head of HR for a company. And at some point I had this epiphany that working in operations was a better place for me because I do like processes and I like to build infrastructure in companies to achieve goals and get large groups of people sort of focused on a task. That was really just like an internal drive for me. But what I realized, it really took an understanding of what motivates people. And like, how do you work with a diverse group of people? So you have technical people, sales people, marketing people, administrative people, legal people, finance people, all these people, these different personalities and personas that make up an organization, and one goal to achieve. So how do you break out the components of the goal and interact with people so they can see their value, their valuable contribution to a goal? How, as an executive, could I communicate with my team or people who weren't even on my team so that they could see themselves. They could paint themselves into this vision. They knew that what they were doing impacted where we were going. And it really helped me develop this style of connected leadership. And how do you work through and engage other people into that vision? So at one point I was, I think I was in a career workshop, and we were talking about this idea that the processes and the goals and the vision and the mission statements, all these things were really important, but we all want to add value. We all want to be meaningful. We all want what we do to be important. And if we could find a way as leaders for people to connect what they see in themselves as valuable with the tasks that they're doing, we're all going to be happier. We're going to have better results. We're going to have people more willing to take risks and be innovative and collaborate. And there's a way that leaders can engage with their teams that's really an invitation for that, versus that there's another way that leaders can engage where they sort of shut that down, where you feel like you have to have a work self and a personal self. Bring your work self here today, the personal self will stay at home. And on the teams that I've worked with, we've always been just highly aware that there's something that somebody loves so much that they're willing to be away from it for 8 to 10 hours a day to fund it, basically, right? So I'm willing to come and do whatever it is here because there's this thing outside that's so important to me that I want to make sure I have the fuel for that. So, you know, that's sort of the balance.
So we're, you know, just to build on what you said, you know, we're in an era where communication's totally changed, right? So people are using phones and social media and face-to-face communication and various, we'll call them antiquated communication styles, you know, have changed. So when you work with leaders and you work with organizations, what are you seeing are the fundamental communication problems from a leadership perspective, and what are some of the things you're trying to do about that?
Wow. So one of the...
No softball questions
no,
here, Alex.
No, yeah,
Carlton.
This is terrific.
We mean business here amongst an entrepreneur.
This is terrific. So one of the things that across the board people are... It's very difficult to manage influx of requests and communication. So email, text, Slack, whatever you've got going on in your office, it's constantly incoming interruptions to your thought, requests for information. And it's a really interesting place where we are with communication and information in general, I think, as a population, because we're used to having such instantaneous access to information. People aren't as used to or comfortable sort of deferring response to those requests. And we're also not as patient on the return. So I work a lot with people to how do you make boundaries around the time that you need to also solve problems? And more so, how do you communicate back to the person when you can help them? So like not replying isn't usually very useful. Saying, I can't do that, sort of leaves the other person feeling shut out. But how can you come back to them and saying, I'm working on this project. I think it's going to take me about 2 hours. I'll be happy to help you. Just give me a couple hours. You know, so people know when they can come back to you. So that's one piece, the barrage of information requests. Some of the other pieces, I think it's sort of managing that expectation for sort of complete access to information and transparency. I think that there was a time where leadership style, because I said so, was an effective way of, it really was. I know when I started in the workforce, I spent a lot of time worrying about what it was that I thought I was supposed to be done and doing a lot of interpretation and making sure. And now there's sort of more of a partnership, and I want to understand why I'm doing this, and I believe I should understand the reason behind it. Whereas I know in my early career, I would just do it because someone said so, and I wanted to have my job the next day, right? So that's shifted a lot. And I think navigating how to adapt your communication style so that you can continue to get your work done and also keep people included and feeling like they have access to you, that you're being transparent, that you're being authentic, that you're being vulnerable. These are all really important things for connecting with the workforce today.
Well, I have to tell you, do you know where I was first exposed to the 'cause I said so leadership style? It's when I was 9 years old and I asked my parents if I could stay up past 9 o'clock. And my father said, no, you can't. I said, why? He said, because I said so.
Okay, sometimes it's useful.
Yeah, that was the first time. No, but Alex, you know what's funny? Listening to you and kind of share your philosophy and thoughts, something occurred to me. You know, I mentioned before kind of how you know people, but what's interesting to me is with your operational background, it would be easy, and you talk about processes, it would be easy for people to think, when I think of processes and operational, I think of not really a lot of like communication and
right.
people stuff, but that's what it is you're really helping people with communication. I mean, you're helping people with more than communication processes, but that's a big strength area for you. And I know in helping is, like you were just describing, it's the communication processes in many cases, correct?
I would say, I had a client ask me that we were talking about common problems that I was seeing across my clients. And one of the things when I was talking with them, I was saying, there's a lot of different problems that come up for different people, but with almost every client across the board, there's always gains to be made in the communication aspect, because sometimes you can solve the problem, but if you can't communicate it out
right.
properly to right. the right groups, you haven't necessarily achieved your goal. So yes, you may have solved a particular problem, but if you don't know how to communicate it to your peers or communicate about the success, so if you're in an organization that values collaboration and you're sort of staking your flag in the moon and claiming this as an individual victory, why didn't that fly? You know, so it's really interesting to look at how does the communication about what you're doing also impact if you're getting where you're trying to be. So I think that's very huge.
So for the CEOs and leadership teams watching, if they're considering hiring someone like you as an executive coach, walk them through, like, these are the things they should be considering, or what are they actually saying privately, their inner voice, or they're sitting there thinking that you know that if they're saying those things, they need to talk to you.
So I think, okay, so I'm going to go backwards because I'm going to go that in reverse order. So I think if someone's thinking, I wonder if I hired a coach, if I could get somewhere faster, if I could achieve more, if there's something I'm missing, or any of those conversations, I think just the curiosity alone, it's worth having conversations. Because I think a lot of times you can even realize more about what you could possibly create by just right. opening those conversations. Just go talk to 3 or 4 people, and then you'll get a sense for whether, yes, this would be a good time or not. I think that we intuitively know. I think most people, you know, oh, it's time for a growth spurt.
Yep,
I think
yep.
I would like some help. And I think that for me personally, like when I've hired a coach, I've known that I've been at the beginning of a growth spurt. And, you know, I wanted it to be impactful because change is hard. So I sort of wanted somebody to challenge me and make bigger leaps than probably I would have made on my own, because I would have stayed a little bit comfortable on my own. So I think that readiness is really important. So as far as, like, what's the process? There's so many different ways of finding coaches, especially in the New England area. We have a really deep market for executive coaching, for every kind of coaching you can imagine. So that's one terrific thing. I think for me, I would start very simple. 3 things. If coaching was magic, what would I want to be able to achieve at the end of it? Start with those, write those down. You can go online, you can, you know, Google and start to read bios. You'll probably see that a lot of the websites say a lot of the same things, you know, mine included. You know, we talk about different types of leadership development, et cetera. But I think fit is the most important aspect of any coaching relationship. So I think having a conversation with somebody and just understanding whether they're going to challenge you the way you'd like to be challenged is the most important part of getting the coaching fit right. I talked to lots of people that I don't wind up being the coach for because I'm more interested in them finding the right person for them to work with. Like working with me takes a certain amount of chops because I can push because I'm really focused on my client's goals. So, you know, I'm not always the most, I'm not the best cheerleader all the time, but I'm really good about getting results. So that takes a certain kind of stomach.
Well, and I have to say, I don't agree you're not the best cheerleader. I think your cheerleading is a different style. I think you cheerlead by example and by different approaches, but I still think it's cheerleading.
Okay. I'm very supportive.
Right.
I am incredibly supportive, and I definitely, I can see how things are going to work out.
Yeah.
I can see a process. I can see a path to getting people where they want to go, and I'm in it with people.
You're just very 100%. Direct.
I'm very direct.
Goal-driven.
Very goal-driven.
Honest.
Yes.
So, and those are different ways of being a cheerleader.
Okay.
Right? Right?
I'm that kind of cheerleader.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That kind of cheerleader.
All right. So before we wrap up, Alex, I know for those, you are embarking on an amazingly interesting project right now that really pulls in your skills, your passions, your knowledge. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about that before we sign off. So could you talk about that project and what your goals and dreams are related to that project?
Absolutely. So I'm taking a very entrepreneurial approach to my project. I have a research partner that I'm working with, and we are basically researching the correlation between adult participation in sports and leadership development and success. And we're going across all sports, so we're trying not to just stay in the sports that I love the most. So we're looking at people who are participating as adults across sports. One of the things that my partner and I came to this belief, we were like, so you read all these articles about kids who participate in sports and the implications for their future leadership. And I started thinking, well, what happens if you missed that? What happens if you didn't participate in sports when you were a kid? What happens if you wanted to start now and you're 30, 35, 40? Logically, for how brains develop, it didn't make sense that that would be the only time that you could get that benefit. So we decided to set out and look at people who have been lifelong athletes as well as people who came to sport later, like maybe they know somebody who had cancer,
yeah.
So they joined a team
yeah.
to run a marathon and do fundraising, so they came to sports later. And we're really looking at the experience and the learnings that people are having in sports and in training and the lessons that they take over to their professional lives. And the feedback has been amazing so far. And people are very passionate about the subject. And I think it's another area where people can practice skills that they can transfer to work. I think, you know, there are certain fears with work. You know, we need to feed ourselves. We need to keep our job. We're worried about sometimes taking risks. But I think sport really gives people an amazing opportunity to practice confidence-building skills, goal-setting skills. It's an amazing talent to receive feedback, you know, positive and negative, and then adjust what you're doing to go after a goal. There's networking. And some of the bigger things are just by participating in sport. Most of the people that we've been talking to, it really increases a lot of their problem solving and creative and innovation functions. So they kind of get lost in their activities and they somehow find solutions to problems that they were working really hard in their office to find. So there's all these sort of soft benefits to participation that we personally think everybody should have access to. And we're looking to substantiate our beliefs because we're a little biased. And then looking potentially to build systems to help build those awarenesses so that people who are participating in sport can programmatically bring those exercise and that learning over to their professional lives.
Well, and it seems like it really has explosive potential because it feels like, if I heard it right, you're taking someone's passion and personal skill set and at home or
wherever,
or
yeah.
wherever, and you're then you it's like solving the engagement problem, right? You're taking that and you're having them bring it into their professional lives and utilize it as a strength and additional skills. And to me, you talk about the creative thinking and the innovation piece. I mean, that's a huge part of it. But to get that's what the engagement story is all about to me.
Right. It's true. And I think the side benefit is it just will help with stress management.
Right. Wellness.
Just right there.
Right.
And well-being
Amazing.
In general, which allows for probably more growth in, from a career perspective anyway. So I think that's really exciting. And, you know, I have two things. So I also work with young people in sports. So this weekend we have a middle school girls mountain biking clinic that's kicking off. And we do a lot of sort of mindset principles while we're training. And we practice telling ourselves, you know, how hard something is and seeing how we do.
great.
You know, so there's a lot of self-talk, so that's fun. But one of the things about combining this research, looking at the sports participation and the professional success, you know, at the end of the day, I you know, sit back and I kind of smile, because I think what I'm really setting out to prove is that even as adults, we still learn by play.
That's great. And, you know, it's Alex is so diverse. I mean, she's a big Star Wars fan. She loves sports, competing. She loves helping kids and being a good family person. So she really wears a lot of hats.
I do.
Star Wars might be the most important.
I know. And if I could have found my pod racer
helmet,
I would have had that on today, too.
So, Alex, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Alex Carlton, president of Acumentary, executive coach. My name is Mark Altman. Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast.